He just loves the Lord so much, and he just wants everyone to be reconciled with God. So when I met him, he was like this Mr. Prophet that would just, you know, tell everyone what was standing in between them and God, so they could get right with God, basically. And like, a lot of people didn't like him, but it was like the polar opposites. The people that really liked him were like, oh wow, Jay's a man of God. And you know, over the years, you know how we go through different seasons in our lives, and I don't think that you probably never experienced the Jay Mister conviction. Well, probably not many of you, but when I introduced him, my best friend at that time, we were not even going out yet, we're just friends. It was like the second time I think I saw Jay. I brought my best friend to this conference, and this conference at Catch the Fire. And we just we sit down in Jay's house, and then he looks at her, and it's like he had these X-ray eyes, and he was like, boom, 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 just started reading her mail, and like in 5 minutes she was on the floor weeping, repenting of all her sins, and getting right with God. And that moment changed her life forever. And I was like, who is this guy? And through that year after, I was just really praying for my future husband, really not thinking, you know, that it was going to be Jay, because he wanted to be single all his life. He didn't want to be married. He thought that having a wife would be a hindrance to his work with God. He wanted to be like the Apostle Paul. So, you know, his heart was in the right place. He just wanted, he wanted God. And that's all he wanted. You know, most guys in their 20s just want to get married, right? He wanted his heart to just be all God's. He didn't want to divide it. And that's pretty honorable. And anyways, I was just praying. You know, I was making that list for my future husband. And the first thing I wrote was, I want my husband to love the Lord. And I want it to be, I want people to be able to see it. You know, that was my first thing. And the second thing was that he would have a love for the word. And the third thing was that he would be hospitable. So, like, you know, just that his heart would be open to everyone. And I want to tell you that Jay meets all those things. Like, to this day, I have never seen anyone that loves God as much as he does. And relationship with God is his number one thing. I can follow rules. I can do religion. God knows that I needed Jay to constantly remind me that it's all about relationship. Sometimes you'll just see Jay like sitting there and just started laughing. And I'm like, what's funny? He's like, oh, Jesus. And I'm like, really? I want that. You know, I've been married to him for almost 9 years, and still sometimes I look at him, I'm like, where do you get this depth of relationship with the Lord? Like, I've been trying my hardest to get to that place, you know, and I pray, I do all the right things, and he's just like, come Holy Spirit, and he just gets blasted, and I'm like, oh God! So this morning, I just want to tell you all of this, because I want your hearts to be ready to receive what Jay has for you this morning. I want you to know who he really is. I know a lot of you don't really know that much about him, and I just wanted to honor him and tell you that he is a man of God. He loves the Lord, and what he has to say this morning is from him. So there you go.
Wow, I'm a little choked up here. This is pretty cool. Unexpected. This is great. We're going to talk about Resurrection Sunday. I was talking to my neighbors, my Jewish unsaved neighbors. They're telling me all about the Shabbat and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's Easter. And I got to preach and not sure what I'm going to preach yet, but I got to spend some time with God and stuff. And they're, it's funny, they listen to Joyce Meyer. They know who Joel Osteen is. And they're, because I was telling them, I got a few scripture verses, but the tough part is relating it to us, you know? And they're like, yeah, there's a few Bible teachers that are Christians that are really good, is basically what they told me. I'm surprised. I'm just like, wow, you know? They're actually listening to what Christians are having to say. And so anyways, so we just talked about it a little bit, and then the conversation ended, and I had to go in, and, you know, ice cream cup truck came, and I tried to scuttle my kids away from that as fast as possible. Being that I didn't want to spend the money, and it was almost dinner time, so. Anyways, so we were at the Passion Play, which Alicia wrote. She's not here today probably because she's tired out from the Passion Play, which is cool because last year 1,500 people got saved through this play that she wrote. And it is an amazing, amazing play. And this year, the altars were full and overflowing. People were in the aisles getting saved. Praise the Lord. You know, and I just see the, she's almost in tears. She's so happy as the Spirit of God falls on people. And the scales fall from their eyes. And they realize that Jesus is real. And that it's not just about religion, but it's about relationship. And oh, I love it. Oh, I love those moments when people are at the, I used to love evangelism. At the very moment they would realize that Jesus is real and that every sin that they've ever had was how much he loved them, was the moment they would break. The weight of their sin would come off their shoulders. And you could see this peace and this relief that was on their faces, like it just took 1,000,000 pounds off their shoulders. Has anybody ever, how many of you know that feeling? If you're not saved, you can have that feeling. Better than that, the whole reason why we have that feeling is because Jesus Christ died on a cross. He died on a cross. So I was thinking about the Hebrew perspective. I was asking my wife a few questions. I do that sometimes about the sermon. I bounce ideas off of her. And so I had my idea, what I wanted to preach, it was a really fast, quick little word, in and out, it was going to be fun, I'm going to hype it up, you know. But my wife was like, you know, today is Resurrection Sunday. It's an important Sunday. And it is. And I was like, that's really great, honey, but how do I relate that? Because Jill's been has taught me about relating that to people and not getting lost in scripture verses happens. And so I was thinking and praying and thinking and praying, and I thought about this verse. It says, for the joy, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And we're going to talk about that joy and why he was so happy and what he was so happy about. Because, you know, it's not just Resurrection Day for him, but it's Resurrection Day for us. Because he was already in the highest place. He was already at the right hand of the Father before he came to earth. He was already there. He didn't come down so he could ascend to the right hand of the Father. He came down so he could lift us up to the right hand of the Father. And so, in John, cute. Anyways, It's like, what did Jesus want the most? I remember fasting and praying a lot of Good Fridays. And reading this chapter over and over, and it took me about 3 or 4 years of meditation to get it. Sometimes I would just spend hours just thinking about what it was that Jesus wanted the most, because my goal was to give it to him. Ha. So, in John 17, Jesus is praying his last prayer before he becomes crucified. And, you know, how many know that your last prayer will probably be the one that is the most important to you? If you had a choice, just before you die, of what you could pray, because there's no sorrow in heaven, there's no suffering in heaven. Yes, there is saints in heaven, but they're so filled with joy and glory and peace that they're not really so much crying out. The only place we really get to cry out is here. You know? Yeah, there's a little bit of crying out about martyrs, but they're crying out about themselves. But really, the real crying out, Jesus does pray for us in heaven, but the crying out takes place here. And if I was about to die, what would I pray? You ever ask yourself that question? When Jesus was about to die, this is what he prayed. John 24, 26, he says, I desire, Father, that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, and that they would behold my glory, which was given to me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. I was in glory before the foundation of the world. But I desire that they would see that glory. This is what Jesus prayed before he was about to be stripped, beaten beyond recognition, mocked and spit on. I pray that they would see that glory. And it says, Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known you, that you sent me. He says, I have declared them to you, your name, to them, your name. And I will declare that the love which you loved me may also be in them. I used to read this and get frustrated. I'd be like, what does this mean? Us in him, and him in us. For a while, I would just pray, Lord, I pray that you would be in me and I would be in you. So I didn't know what else to do. Not really knowing exactly what that meant. And yeah, I thought about it. At first, I thought it meant communion, and then I thought this, and then I thought that, right? Spend a few hours meditating and fasting. You'll get all kinds of different revelations. But see, the clue, the hint is that, did you know that when Jesus, he got a right away answer to his prayer? Because it says in Luke, when he was crucified, the veil was torn from end to end. And you know what was behind that veil? The Ark of the Covenant. Something called the mercy seat, or the throne of Christ. You see, we were able to enter in and behold Christ in his place, where before we couldn't, because the blood of goats and calves was just not good enough. We're able to behold him in the holy place, on his throne, and enter in boldly into the secret place with God.
Think about that. Hebrews 10, it says we enter in boldly. We become seated with Him in heavenly places. This was the joy that was set before Christ that caused Him to want to endure the most painful death ever recorded in the history of man. Praise God. And my wife said to me, she said, you know, Jesus, He died for intimacy with us. Intimacy with us. That's why He died. The joy set before Him was that He wanted to have a meeting with you face to face without a veil in between them. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it relevant? Even now? With so many distractions in this world? That God wanted to have us all to Himself, inside of Himself. Why? We've gotten to the point where we're inside of Him. And He's speaking to us. And so, when we're inside of Him, we're raised up far above all principalities. All of His enemies and our enemies are underneath our feet. All of them. The joy set before Him that He would put all of our enemies underneath our feet as we sat with Him because He raised us up in the secret place of the Almighty, in the shelter of the Most High. Yeah. Think about that. Selah, pause. Ha. Let the Holy Spirit just drop that inside your spirit right now. That the joy set before Him was the joy of lifting you up to a place where you could be seated beside Him in heavenly realms with all of His enemies and your enemies underneath your feet. That's the place where God begins to write on the tablets of our heart, as it says in Ephesians. He writes on the tablet of our heart His laws. We become living epistles. He fills us with His glory and His authority. And the Bible says in Ephesians, He changes us from glory to glory. Inside of His glory. Glory to glory. More glory, Daddy. Ha! Hey! Inside of His glory. This was the joy that was set before Christ. And as His epistles are written upon our hearts, we become living epistles, ministers of a new covenant, transformed into the image of Christ or the bride of Christ inside the secret place. And His word becomes inside of us. Woohoo! His spirit, it actually says that the spirit comes inside of us and comes upon our hearts, lifts the veil on our hearts, and empowers us to see the face of Christ, the anointed one. And as He writes His word upon our hearts, we change from glory to glory to glory. Inside of the secret place, the Holy of Holies, seated with Him in heavenly realms. And that's why the Holy Spirit's always called, come on! It's about intimacy. It's about relationship. It's the thing that Jesus wanted the most. For our good, not for his good. I once asked God, why did you do all this just for us? And he's like, you know, I really needed someone to share my inheritance with because I had so much. I had so much that I just couldn't keep it all to myself. You want to receive that glory. You know, Jesus, God so loved the world that he came. He sent his only begotten Son. Now I'm saying this in context with a Hebrew perspective. He loved the world so much that we might have life, and life abundantly. Where is that abundant life? I'll tell you where it is. It's in the secret place, beholding the glory of God. And as you behold the glory of God, his truth will become written on your heart. You will have authority over demons and principalities. And from that place, the Bible says in Revelation that we get an iron scepter and we smash the enemies of the Lord to like pottery. And of course, they're the enemies of us too. The people, the things inside of our lives that say, you're depressed and you're no good and you can't do this. Smash! Because Jesus comes along and he says, you were created with a purpose in eternity. I want to empower you to do signs, wonders, and miracles, and to be a sign and a wonder and a miracle. I want to fill you with hope and with peace and with joy, and let that hope and peace and joy be infectious inside of your life. I'm going to give you words to set your friends and your family free, to be a living invitation to come into the Holy of Holies and see the glory of Christ. And I'm going to take you from truth to truth. From freedom to freedom. Because you know what? Glory equals truth, and truth equals freedom. And freedom equals a release of God's power. And we can't enter in any other way except for by the blood of the cross. How do we enter in by the blood of the cross? By faith. We just say, Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. And we just begin to pray. And the Holy Spirit comes down. And he fills us. And he takes us up. Ha. And we have intimacy with Christ. Ha. This, my friends, is the joy that was set before him. And I would encourage us today not to just let it be Jesus' joy, but to let it be our joy also. Because really, his joy is in us. That we might be in him. Because when we are in him, he becomes inside of us. Intimacy. Deep, deep intimacy. Ha. I'm going to ask Gwen or some worship team to come up. I know it's a short word. I'm glad it's short because I want to spend some time in the Holy of Holies. I want to open up the altar for just a little bit that we might physically make God's joy our joy. And we might focus on Jesus just for, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. And we might focus on him. That we might practice. And you might have a foretaste of what the Holy Spirit and Jesus have got in store for you. Ha! A little more Holy Spirit. Happy Resurrection Day, church. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy Easter. Will you not offer God the thing that He wanted the most on Easter Sunday? Will you not offer Him yourself? Will you not spend time with Him face to face in intimacy, whether in joy or in pain, whether in victory or defeat? God doesn't care as long as you come. Doesn't matter whether you're the lowest man on the totem pole or the president of the United States. You need Jesus just the same. You need peace just the same. You need joy just the same. You need love just the same. You need to enter into the Holy of Holies and meet who created you so that He can explain to you why you were created, what you were created for, that you might find fulfillment, that you might find purpose and destiny, that you might find joy and glory in God, where you won't walk around frustrated at God anymore. You won't use Jesus' word, name as a swear word, but instead it will be a praise word. Praise you, God, that you created me with a purpose. And I love the purpose that you created me in. I feel so happy and complete and fulfilled because of my relationship with you. In the same way, no, most people don't feel happier, filled, or complete without a husband or a wife. A person cannot feel happy, complete, or fulfilled without Jesus Christ. That longing is the equal longing. Ha. Come. Come to the altar, lay down, get in the seat, or kneel down, get in the secret place of the shelter of the Most High. Tell Him your deepest, darkest secret. Maybe you just need to praise Him. Maybe you just need to listen for His voice. Oh, it's like many waters. It washes over us, refreshes us, and cleanses us, and purifies us. Many waters cannot quench His love. The joy that was set before Him may be in you, that your joy might be complete. Amen.